I'm Ashwini. I work at Microsoft in Office. I've been with Microsoft for 16 years now, doing BI all over the space in SQL and in Office. This is Sanjay.
Yep. Hi, folks. So my name is Sanjay Soni. I'm a technical product marketing manager. But my background, I've been working for Microsoft for 9 years, and 7 years of it was in Microsoft IT. So how many of you are from IT? We are going to keep it interactive. I will not let you be here with us. You know, so essentially, my job was for 7 years delivering BI to the masses at Microsoft, delivering BI to business people. So business people could be from HR, finance, all these groups, right? Hard to please. And so, as a program manager, then became an evangelist for BI platforms. How many of you have heard about evangelists in IT? Right? It actually rocks. It's the best job ever. So the job was to enable self-service BI. And we started with 300 users. I still remember the day, 300 users. And took through journey to 40,000 users and 40,000 paid users, not free. 40,000, if somebody's paying you money, it's funny money, right? From internal to business, right? For example, HR, finance, they are paying you money to IT to use BI. That it better be good, correct? Yes? So we're going to share that story with you today. How did we start the journey 7 years ago? How did we go through all this with that?
Yeah, most of this session is going to be Sanjay speaking about his experiences. I'm not sure if this is a 300-level session. If I was a little more hardcore, I'd say it'll be more of a 200-level. So if you're offended by that, I'm sorry. We're sorry. otherwise, thank you for being here. What we're going to cover today are these four things. The first one, just the context of business need, IT promise. The second two, actually case studies. One from actually the business side of Microsoft sales. And the third one is from, the second case study is from Microsoft IT. And then Sanjay is going to give us our wisdom of the top 10 lessons he's learned while delivering self-service BI at scale. I look after part of BI from the Office side now, but we're familiar enough with the technology on both sides that we can talk about these scenarios together. Business need, just a level set. There is business users want to be productive. They want to make decisions independently of any dependence on any IT system, processes, phone calls. I want to use whatever data. If I grab it off the web, I want to use that. If I just typed it up, I want to use that. I want to change whatever. Don't give me any constraints on what I can do because I know best about my data. Maybe there's a reorg happening and I know what the reorg is. Maybe I've just looked at some website with some information that's the most appropriate one for me. I want to use whatever and change whatever. Still, I want to have confidence that the decisions I'm making are based on as good a data as I can make it. IT is promising to build trusted system of records. Any change to those systems will be managed and controlled. There'll be proper governance to make sure there is visibility into who's accessing these systems and whether they should have access to it or not. IT gets a bunch of prioritized asks through the rest of the organization, and their promise is, yeah, we're going to prioritize them to the best of our abilities. We'll work with the business teams, but at the end of the day, there is a prioritization activity that happens. And we promise to add value to the business. This is the IT, this is why IT exists. The way business users see IT is more like this. This is hypothetical, it doesn't exist. Just in a fairy tale world, business sees IT as people screaming, no, you can't do that. What do you mean you have shadow applications? What do you mean you have 2,000 access databases within your business group? That makes no sense. Why would you do that? Who has access to all these shadow applications? How do we bring them under control? How do you know you're looking at the trusted data? You don't have license to drive that car, essentially. IT, how does IT see business? Well, there are a bunch of cowboys who are blindfolded. They're running through a maze with arrows flying at them, shooting bullets left, right, and center to the best of their abilities. Best of luck to you. We don't know how you survive. We don't know how you make your money. We don't know how you haven't made wrong decisions that has costed your jobs. We have no idea how you're doing it, but this is hypothetical. This doesn't exist, right? All right. So that's the two camps that we look at, business users and IT users. And how many folks have heard the Power stuff? Power Pivot, Power View, Power Map. How many folks have heard it for the first time at this conference? Oh, great. So not too many. So maybe this section will go by pretty quickly. I was at the booth yesterday and the day before, and there were a few people coming up and saying, hey, I don't really understand what Power Pivot is, what Power View is, how do they fit in together? So a couple of slides just to make sure we're on the same page of the power orientation. All right. So very simplistically, at a high level, you can think of three levels of the stack. The base level is where do you get data from? Once you get data, where do you store it? Where do you land data? And then what do you do with the data once it's there? For those familiar with Excel 2007, 2010, you grab data from the data tab, you land it on your sheets, and you build visualizations on top of them, which includes pivot tables and tables, pivot charts, slices, blah, blah, blah. Just a bunch of different ways of visualizing that data. Now, we've extended the Excel portfolio at all of these layers. So if you look at the next slide and go through them one by one, at the bottom is the how do you get data in? And how many folks have seen Power Query already? Yeah, most folks have seen Power Query. I love Power Query. I'm not on the Power Query team, but I thoroughly enjoy what Power Query enables me as a user to do with finding data sources, with mashing them up, with publishing my own mashups. So it's essentially enriching the data access capability that exists in Excel. In Excel 2013, we introduced this notion of a data model. So you can bring data in, and you can land it as part of Excel into something called the data model. Data model is an in-memory store. It is a very fast, very efficient way of storing and summarizing information. So if you've got 10 million rows or 100 million rows of data that you want to just fetch from a place and store it inside your Excel workbook, data model allows you to do that very efficiently and then to query it very efficiently. Data model also allows you to have multiple tables with relationships between them. So it's kind of like if you think of access relational schema within Excel. So relationships are a first class citizen. So you don't have to use VLOOKUPs within your Excel formulas. It's a full-fledged relational model. Data model also allows you to define business queries, business logic. So you can have, there's a language called DAX that allows you to define just the business entities that you've got, like net present value. If you want to do just basic measurements of this year versus last year, how much did I sell? There's a full dimensional model as well. And that's all just part of your Excel workbook. When you save your workbook, the data model gets saved as part of your workbook as well. On the data model, you have all the existing set of visualizations like pivot table and pivot charts continue to work on both sheet and the data model. In addition, there's Power Map and Power View, which are new class of visualizations. Power View allows you to have a very interactive kind of dashboard style, a sheet that multiple controls, multiple visualizations are all tied together. So you can click on USA and everything else filters down. You can click on bikes and everything else filters down as well. So a very interactive exploration environment called Power View. And Power Map is an immersive 3D environment for you to map around and to look at data in geospatial way. And Sanjay is going to show all this. Where does Power Pivot fit into all this? I haven't talked about Power Pivot yet. Power Pivot is a add-in experience that allows you to design the data model. You can still use the rest of it without Power Pivot. Power Pivot just gives you a professional environment in which to manage the data model. So you can see a schema view, you can see, you can build relationships visually. You have a better experience for creating measures, calculations, et cetera. So that's where Power Pivot fits in. Any questions so far? Great, yeah. So the question is, what is DAX and why does that exist, basically? What DAX allows you to do is we essentially extended the Excel calculation language with primitives that are more BI-centric. So for example, if you wanted to do calculation, time intelligence, for example, if you want to do last year versus this year, it's a very common problem in data analysis where a general purpose tool like Excel, like spreadsheets, just didn't have that concept built in. Or the notion of tables and relationships between tables so that you can navigate to. So if you're in your orders table and you want to look at all the sales, and you say, just give me a total of all the sales that have happened for each of the order. That's just it's a language that's defined, that's designed to make those kinds of queries just very easy to express within the model itself. And as the DAX language was being defined, the goal was always to say, hey, just think of this as extension to the Excel calculation language, which works on hundreds of millions or billions of rows of data, right? So it's a very scalable implementation as well. So that's what DAX is. Okay, any other question? So this is on the Excel desktop. Let's talk about SharePoint. Oops, I actually went to the next slide. This one, which is the primary scenario for SharePoint, is being able to consume collateral, that's workbooks that are created on the desktop. So with that in mind, there is no Power Pivot. Remember, Power Pivot was the design time experience for designing the data model. The data model runs in SharePoint, but there is no Power Pivot UI for actually defining calculations in through the browser. Right now, Power Query, we're just releasing Power Query. You can do the data refresh on the desktop, not yet. You cannot refresh it on the SharePoint yet. That's something that the team is working hard on. And Power Map that you've seen already in many sessions, you can do a lot of that in Excel desktop, not yet in SharePoint. You can build videos, and you can publish those videos so others can see them, but it's not that interactive geospatial experience is not yet in SharePoint itself. Okay, so level set, these are the technologies, a very abstract discussion of what we have. Right? Okay. Sanjay, you ready?
Yes, almost.
Okay.
Do you have any other question for him?
Sure. That's my cue to tap dance a little bit. See what how much time do you need?
No, just 30 seconds.
Okay, great. Any questions so far? Huh? You like Power Map?
Yeah, we'll show enough of Power Map right in a few minutes, actually, so which is fine. Okay, sounds good. So we'll start just like that. I was trying to create a new demo in 5 minutes to show you, but you
know, this is Sanjay. This is always.
No, it's not. All right, so let's get started.
Yeah.
You have a clicker?
Yeah.
All right.
Actually.
No, this is the machine. Where is
it? Yep, got it.
No, it's all good. All right, folks. So as I said before. So I was in Microsoft IT for 7+ years, and my job was to enable self-service BI for thousands of users. It was a journey. Journey is never smooth, right? In fairy tales, you know, life is good, but then here you always have some distractions, what happens. So I'm going to share with you enabling self-service BI from IT for thousands of users story, and it has 4 episodes, right? 4 episodes, and we're going to start with episode 4. How many of you have seen Star Wars? Right? So we're starting with episode 4. So what we are trying to do here, I'm going to stand here probably, there's no static here, so here we go. So episode 4 means it's the most modern, what's happening right now. And remember Ashwini said, what IT and business, 2 different groups. So episode 4 is when I was in business team. After having been Microsoft IT for 7 years, I actually joined a business team. How many of you are actually from business teams who do reporting? Awesome. So so what do we business people, you know, our issue is we have to really take decisions fast and everything. So this, the business is called incubation sales. So how many of you have heard about Windows Azure? So that's an incubation business for Microsoft. So we're selling Windows Azure, we're selling data warehouses, the new technologies, PPI devices. So guess what? When we sell all this, we store data about it, right? We have opportunities and we have revenue. You're with me so far. So we really want to know where are the opportunities, how can we maximize the sales, and how much revenue are we earning, right? That kind of stuff. So now I'm going to start with this story first because this is really 6 months old, what was happening when I was in business team, okay? So there was a business analyst, okay? Once upon a time, there was a business analyst who lived in Excel and did not trust IT. He said, IT? And this is a real person. I'm not going to give you her name. I know her. She was my colleague. because she lived in Excel, and and she's like, okay, why do you want to talk to IT? They are slow, they are not responsive, and they will say, why are you doing this? We'll put auditing on you, security on you. Have you seen that? Yes. Okay. So that's one. So then, basically, that's what's happening. Then slow. I will say slow. Slow. Non-visual. Excel reports were everywhere. You're right. You get into limitations of Excel and what's happening. What do we do? You know. And I'm like, okay, what can I do to work with IT here? So silos of unorganized BI was everywhere. And now here's a business problem for you. So when we sell Windows Azure or anything, you're selling anything. You have how many salespeople can we have? You can have limited people, so, right? You cannot, even Microsoft, we cannot have too many salespeople either. So we rely on partners to sell. So our business problem was, I'm giving you real numbers here. Not enough opportunities were attached to partners, right? You want to have as many partners involved with, you know, to sell more. So this was a business problem. Then traditional Excel reports did not perform with millions of rows of data. And of course, matching up sales and a CRM opportunities data was really a big problem. You had to go to IT and be able to do this. So thousands of sellers had to go to different places to do all this. How many of you can relate with this scenario? Just be honest. I'm trying to make you with me and be with me and be attentive, and it's all good, right? It's a common scenario. You've seen this before. So essentially what we did is, I had to create one report as a new job in that group of Microsoft. I wanted to create one report. So I collaborated with Danny Hotter in this room right here and created a Power Pivot report, right? Power Pivot, Power View, a very visual report, which was able to hold 10 million rows of data inside of Excel. How many of you know the limitation in Excel, the rows? What is it? Sorry? 1 million? Sorry? No limited? Well, there is a limit, but you know, thanks for saying that. I mean, you know, it depends on your memory, okay? I'm going to keep a USB stick for you here. But the point is, essentially, it depends on memory that you have. So the fact that we had one report with 10 million plus rows of data from sales, opportunities, everything, that went very well. All sellers loved it, and everybody was able to use it. And because of that, fast insights for sellers, and everybody was loving it, able to choose this thing. So here's what we did. I'm going to show you a demo now, in like 1 minute from now. We use Power Query with the data set from IT. So IT had 30 terabyte plus data warehouse, right? Now, how do we make that data available to the masses? So we made that available through something called data catalog. I mean, how many of you have heard about it? So data catalog essentially is part of Power Query. You can have a private data catalog, and we made that available to the business person. Who never trusted IT. So she's like, oh, I can go into Excel. I can get all this data from IT easily without contacting them, without emailing them. So obviously, you need permissions and all this stuff. But without going through the whole stuff, everything in Excel, that was awesome for her. So it moved a needle a little bit. She said, okay, fine. But I still don't love IT. I'm still okay. But, you know, yeah, just moving the needle. Then we used Power Pivot to analyze millions of rows of data. We visualized data using Power View, Power Maps, and then we made this whole thing available to a unified SharePoint portal on-premise. This was never in the cloud. It was on-premise, SharePoint 2013 with Power Pivot, Power View. Everybody loved it so much that one report, what can one report do? You know what that one report can do? This slide sums it up for you. What I'm showing you is we challenged all the sellers. We exposed their partner attach rates. Our 1,500 plus sellers, we said, look, here's a partner attach rate. Now let's see what can you do to improve it. And because it was so visual, they could go drill down and everything, the seller rate increased to 70%. Do you think that's a good business result? Oh, come on, I want to do some clap here, you know. So hey, this one report, right? You know what that meant to us? We had one of the best revenue, the best years for Windows Azure, right? I think I can say that. If I said something confidential, sorry about that. So that was a real thing. And with that, I want to show you some demo here. Let's see if I can, this is the demo. And we are going to get into the demo mode. So I'm going to start right now inside of Excel. Any questions so far? Whatever I said, did it make sense? Yes, okay, so I'm going to display only on the second screen, just where I have no confusion, nothing here. All right, so here we are in Excel. And in Excel, you'll notice something, we have a couple of add-ins here. So we have Power Query. By the way, whatever demos I'm showing you today is all Excel 2013. This will not work on Excel 2010 or any other versions, right? Just want to be clear. 2013 has a bunch of add-ins. I'm sure you've attended sessions from Power Query team, Power BI teams, right? But I want to show you this right here in action. Here is how we are using within Microsoft. So this is a scenario for you. So we can import data from SQL Server databases and all IBM DB2, or all kind of, we don't have IBM DB2, but essentially you can import the stuff. But then here, you have something more interesting. Think about Windows Azure SD Insight. How many of you actually have big data scenarios? Some of you, right? So now big data is coming into the whole BI world, right? So you have this SD Insight in Windows Azure we have, and you can actually go there, you can essentially create your clusters. I just wanted to show you real quick. So we created some clusters within Windows Azure, okay? And then here you can create your own storage account, and we did some Twitter analytics, and basically got all this data into this Windows Azure SD Insight. Now we ran MapReduce jobs, and we had some insights. What do people think about Windows Azure, right? What do people think about Parallel Data Warehouse Appliance? Twitter, how many of you are on Twitter? Twitter analytics? So what if we could analyze all this data and see what people are thinking about our products? So in this demo, we have masked some of the data and really we are getting it all. So instead of Excel, we grabbed all this data from SD Insight into Excel. Then here, we have a new connector. I don't know if you've heard about this SAP Business Objects BI Universe connector. How many of you have heard about it? We launched it 2 days ago. And how many of you use SAP? So we have a brand new connector inside of Excel Power Query now. We launched it 2 days ago. It's called right here. So basically, using BI Universe, you can get data from any of your SAP data sets into a universe. And then from Excel, you can simply type and copy and paste the URL of that server. And I already got this data right here coming from SAP Business Objects BI Universe. So in this scenario, BI sales, I'm simply going to grab channel. I'm going to grab this days and stays, revenue, and all this good information I have, and I'm going to simply create a report right now. So you can hover over this, edit. So now we are inside of Excel, Power Query, and we have all these data sets right here. I can simply, you know, select, deselect any of these things I don't like. There we go. I can do simple ETL here. Inside of this tool, you see how many options you have. You can replace values and all these good things, simple things you can do. And then you can simply apply and close. Now this data goes into Excel if you click on Load to Worksheet or Load to Data Model. Is that a valid scenario, good scenario? You may have data in SAP. You may have some data in the cloud. And we get all this into Excel. So now I'm going to show you here. We're going to go to Power Pivot. And in Power Pivot, we are going to mix the two data sets. Okay? So once we get that, it's really loading this data not only here, but also in Power Pivot. And in Power Pivot, I have worked with 100 million plus rows of data. You know, I have myself worked with it. So you are welcome to try millions of rows of data inside of Power Pivot here. And in there, you'll see diagram view. So this data, we pre-imported from our SAP or a sales warehouse. This data is coming from Twitter. Right? And then you can simply analyze all this together. So now I'm going to, do you have any questions so far? Making sense? Yes?
There's one right there.
Oh, sorry.
I have a question. Being from the IT side, what kind of strain does that put on the database query?
What kind of strain does it put on databases you are querying? Do you want to answer that first?
Sure. It depends on, of course, how much data you're pulling through. We talk about the info catalog in a little bit as well, which is if you're a data steward, you can publish a certified endpoint, essentially, for end users to be able to query from. And you can tighten that down instead of just having a lot of data being exported to them in flat files or in file folders to be able to just have a much tighter loop there. It is, at the end of the day, it is a query that you end up sending that gets resolved on your data source and then the results are brought back. So depending on the volume of data that you're pushing through and the calculation that's happening in the data source, it can put a lot of strain on it. What we've seen within IT itself is within Microsoft itself is that IT has created these other servers where we where they replicate server data over to make them available for enabling self-service users. They do, yeah.
Absolutely. And also, as Ashwini said, within Microsoft IT, we had a 30 terabyte plus data warehouse. How do you make it available to all the power users? So the way we worked, essentially from IT point of view, we were working with data stewards from each business group, sales, marketing, finance. Data stewards will determine who power users are. Do you know the difference between the two, right? Power users versus data stewards. Then power users will determine who end users are. It was a hierarchy of relationship, and otherwise you don't want to open 30 terabytes of data to everybody. It was really through a methodical process. Now, this is the coolest thing I'm going to show today in the demo, is right here, besides Power Map later on, is right there. So this, it looks like Excel to you, but what I am just showing is something very, very powerful. I would love for you all to try this out in your IT departments. So take a look. In Power Query, you'll see an option of signing in, okay? Once you sign into your own organization, into Power Query, here you have online search. You can go to population. Let's say I type population. I can see this all data. But if I type channel, take a look what you're going to see here is channel. Now look, we are showing you some data sets from internet, but this one is not. This is private data. This is coming from Microsoft's own organization catalog. So with this organization catalog, we expose the terabytes of data only to the selected users. And you can give access based on their Windows account to whoever you want. And then guess what they have to do? They can simply click on the data set and it comes into their Excel file. Is that a good idea? Like it? Oh, come on, you can clap, it's okay. You know? Why is this so powerful? What used to happen before all this? Tell me. Any guesses? Let's say you are a business person and you want data from IT. What would you do? Yes, exactly. And then a couple of emails and permissions, and 1 week goes by. Here we have instant access. You simply go to data steward. I want this data access. They give you access, and now you're looking at all 30 terabyte plus data warehouse data that we have from MSIT, all for the users right there. Okay? Powerful. Good? So far, so good. So now we have all this data, and all you have to do is simply click on this. Data comes into Excel, and you're way to go. Now let's get some visualizations, because I know we talked about all this data side of things. But talk about visualizations. Here I'm just showing you the Power View. How many of you are actually using Power View? And how many of you are using Excel? Please, use Power View and Power Pivot, because you will bring your Excel to a new level of BI, and I did myself. That one report, right? Basically, people liked it so much, then we converted all of our reports to this model. And it is very, very visual. People can simply touch revenue, hardware, software, what's happening here versus there. You see this? Instead of emailing questions about the stuff, they can simply click on it and answers come back into their world, just like that. So there we go. Now let me get you to insert this. The main problem we have is power. We have something called Power Map, by the way. You've seen demos of Power Map, right? So we are using Power Map here to visualize this. So business problem in this case was we were selling Xbox. I'm sure Xbox, many of you use Xbox. And then we are not selling enough of Xbox in some areas we are sending it, we're using it. So see, what can we do in terms of that? So what we've done is we've built a Power Map, and I'm going to show you a simple video that we have created after exporting this data from Power Map. And you will see this now. And the scenario is as follows, that we don't have enough of sales happening. We have lots of opportunities for our Xbox systems. And of course, data has been masked. Now imagine this. Forget about static reports. Imagine telling a story from business to your manager or management. So here I'm showing you hardware and software, lots of sales all over US. But now let's drill down. What kind of hardware sales do we have? How many action games? How many Halo games? How many of these other games are we selling? How many opportunities do we have? So here we have overlaid two types of things here. One is the opportunities, and then you see a heat map. Heat map is showing revenue. So imagine this, how much revenue we have and how much opportunities do we have? So where do you think we should focus? On the areas where we have less revenue or more revenue? Sorry? Why? So yeah, we get more money, so let's focus on less revenue here. So some of the areas in Florida, we don't see much revenue happening, lots of opportunities here. But then, you know, you can focus in Fort Lauderdale right there. You can go as low as you, as details as you want. And here you're looking at now, okay, I'm showing a real use case. We are using this kind of scenario within Microsoft. So there we go, here we go. How many opportunities are in disengaged state versus other stage? So you can really look at the opportunities by sales stage. But guess what? We got some data from internet, the tweets. So this is showing you now the negative tweets. People who have tweeted about, let's say, our gaming systems, and we have masked this data, so, you know, I'm not showing you real. We had to remove some of the words. It was funny how some of the words that people use on Twitter, so I could not share the real Twitter feeds, but essentially I'm showing you the negative sentiment. The sentiment is very simple. Somebody says very, very bad word, -5. Somebody says, awesome, that's +5 sentiment. +5 to -5, and showing you now, okay, lots of revenue, lots of negative tweets in Florida and this stuff. You can always take somebody from Europe in the audience. We can go to Europe and we can see what's happening. France is doing okay, other parts are not. So then we just come back, and now we're going to focus only on this one area, which is basically Fort Lauderdale. So this, you see, once you go to Florida, you notice there's something really, really bad happening in Fort Lauderdale. So with that, what you can do is you can investigate this further by using this tool. We call it Power Q&A. Okay? So I'm going to see if I can take you to Power Q&A and refresh this page. And all we have done in this demo right now is taken this Excel file I showed you so far, published it to Power BI sites. And in Power BI, your users can consume all this, and they were able to consume all this data, you know, all over the globe. Our 1,500 plus sellers were able to use all this data, you know, over the web, and the story is good. Right after this, I'm just going to show you now, they were able to consume all this over the web, easy. But let's go to Q&A. So this is the question which, you know, we can see if we can get some answers to. We can simply ask questions to this, and there we are. So we are actually using this in inside of Microsoft. So number of opportunities, opportunities by per country. So just like that, enable content, and you're looking at the answers. Imagine this kind of interaction that you can have with your BI tool, and this is actually powerful. So, or you can say, hey, this is okay, but then negative, I just want to see negative tweets. Look at this. So you're able to see negative tweets, just like asking this, in Fort Lauderdale, maybe. In Fort Lauderdale, you know, in Fort Lauderdale. Right there. Or you can say count of number of tweets. So basically this way we were able to investigate, you know, count of negative tweets. You know, and able to get answers very, very easily, okay, by country or something, you know, something like that. So you can see this stuff and this how it works. So what do you think about this kind of stuff? Do you think that lady will change her mind if we give her this kind of stuff within Excel and everything? Yes, and she did. She started respecting IT and all the stuff, but this was not all for us. So there were some more things, and I think now we should go back to...
Yeah, there was a question in the back.
Question, yes. So what I'm showing you here, so the stuff that we did implemented in production within Microsoft for this business was on-premise. But the scenario I'm showing you now, some people are starting to put their data into Power BI, the not HBI data, but MBI data, LBI data, because it's real revenue information, real opportunities information. We're planning to put there, but we don't put customer IDs, you know, customer like social security number stuff into cloud yet. So we just put this information. So we're beginning to use this. Okay? Good question. So I'll take one more question and then we'll move on.
So does the data on the Power BI side refresh automatically?
Good question. So yes, it can. The short answer is yes. Data refreshes per day. It can refresh per day basis. And I think Ashwin is going to talk about this later on.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to one more question. Okay, then we have to move on. whether it actually is. Yes. Okay, good question. So let's start from scratch. From scratch means data actually is an MS, let's start from MSIT. In MSIT, we have an enterprise data warehouse. It's on the servers in MSIT. Data is in SAP systems, right? Then what we do is, from MSIT, we worked with data stewards to publish subsets of that terabytes of data for power users. Let's say data steward is in sales team. So sales data steward will say, okay, I can give access to these power users for this. So then that person will publish data into the data catalog inside of Power Query. So there's a Power Query server side of things, if you would, where you enable to publish data into Power Query catalog, data catalog.
Publish the definition of the query into, right? Not all the data, not all the terabytes would go there, but
exactly.
Some definition of the query would go there in the catalog.
The metadata, right?
Yeah.
And then power user, Excel person, opens a Power Query and grabs the data that they want, only subset of the query, right? Really, data that they want. And then the data goes into Power Pivot, which is part of Excel, which can now hold hundreds of millions of rows of data in an Excel file. It does huge compression, and that Excel file has all this information. Now, all you do is publish that Excel file to PowerBI.com, which is our Azure Office 365 Azure version of Power, or SharePoint Online, if you would. At the end of the day, it's SharePoint, right? Or you can publish it to on-premise SharePoint, which is running BI. Okay? Now I'm going to keep going because it's literally one third of the session. We have to keep going. We'll take more questions later on. We have so much content to share with you right now. So let's just get back to the slides. Are we on this slide right here? I think so. All right. So what did I say to you? I said to you that, we showed the demo. Business analyst actually was impressed with all this. Started working with the MSIT team. Now, what did IT do to gain that trust? Not only what I'm showing you now in episode 4, but I'm just going to go back in time, like 7 years ago, 5 years ago, all right? Where did we start the BI group? So how many of you are part of your own BI, how many of you are from IT again? Okay, then how many of you are part of your BI engineering group, the group that owns data, right? So, all right, let's start there. So now I'm going back in time into my Microsoft IT experience. This was a power user experience and business group life. And now let's go back to this, the real story that starts like 7 years ago. Delivering BI to 40,000 users using a portal and report catalog, episode 1. Okay, this is from scratch.
Oh, you're on this machine.
Okay. Awesome. So this is where the story starts. Once upon a time, right? IT was trying to create every possible report for which users needed, but still, it was not enough, right? How many of you actually create reports for business? It's a hard thing to please business people, right? So even if you can keep creating stuff. And there were silos of unorganized BI, reports, scorecards, dashboards were everywhere. Imagine 1,000 shadow applications we had from business. MSIT was always there. But 1,000 shadow applications, business had hired their vendors in their own offices, and they were creating BI for IT, for their own business people. They had money. And they would rather give it to those vendors than give it to your IT department. Have you seen that? How many of you have seen that? Because they think IT is slow. Right? So what could we do? This was really a situation, really true, and I'm sure it's true even today. Right? And then somebody said, okay, you need enterprise data warehouse. Enterprise data warehouse is needed. Right? So now I have a trivia question for you. Okay, so we have two options. Like 7 years ago, we were in a Starbucks and we were talking, what should we do about this problem? And then we had two options. You can start from left-hand side. You can keep cleaning data, okay? And then someday when you have this, everything is figured out, create enterprise data warehouse, how many years does it take usually for EDW? Sorry? Years and years, right? Could be 3-4 years. And then you create this something on the right-hand side, which is like a nice one portal for everybody to go to and then get all the reports. What do you think we did? Any guesses? Do you think we kept it from left to right or right to left? Or both? We did actually start from right-hand side. So my director had a strange idea. He said, you know what, I'm not going to start the project of EDW yet. Business has been creating reports. We have been creating reports. Why don't we put them all into one catalog, one report catalog, one BI portal using, any guesses, which tool? SharePoint. So using SharePoint, we create this one BI portal, and we called it Consolidated Business Intelligence. We got funding from one business, which was customer service and support, and we added bad reports with bad data into that one catalog for one business. Do you think it was a good idea? Was the data real? Because it was a shadow application, right? The data was managed by business people anyway. And we created this one portal and with one catalog where they could add reports themselves. Self-service BI in the beginning, before Power Pivot was created, if I can give you some hint. So before Power Pivot was created, we did this inside of Microsoft. And then we said, look, just add anything you want into this portal. We will not control this. We'll just give you access. You do it yourselves. Then people said, this director is going to get fired in one year. It's a bad idea. I think this is not going to succeed. Then we launched it. And guess what? We failed. I'm going to be honest with you. After spending 4 months, and we launched it, and we failed. You know what the reason could be for failing? It was not technology. You know what's missing in self-service BI? You need to have the training, proper training for business people to use self-service BI. So if you can learn only one lesson from my side today of all the experiences, it's this. Implement self-service BI. It's exciting, but make sure you have onboarding process for a business. Make sure you have proper trainings for the tools you're providing them, and then it may succeed. Then it will succeed. So we failed. Of course, we learned lessons. With 2 months or so, we spent on creating onboarding process training for the tools we had and regional deployment, blah, blah. And then guess what we did? We essentially increased it. We encouraged business powers users to create reports. We trained them for free. Not for one business. Then all these other businesses started coming to CBI. So we created an enterprise catalog for the whole Microsoft. The director actually had a vision. You know, he said, I'm going to create something that can be used by HR, finance, legal, everybody. The solution, so please, do not create applications for each business. Create platforms. Just say it with me, platforms. Platforms. Because when you're creating platforms, you're thinking beyond that one business. You don't want to be just tied to that one business who gave you $1 million for that year. You want to create a platform which can be used by across your own company. And we just did that. And guess what? We did not make it for free. This is the interesting catch for you. We had various platforms which were free. This is the one we charged money for it. And guess what? This is the one which became successful. Why? Sorry? Training, but also why would you charge money and why would people pay you? Sorry? It's relevant, and they are not taking it for granted. When somebody's paying you something, you're going to do a better job of giving them service. This is BI as a service. So we literally ran BI as a service, and you'll see the results in the next slide. So we asked them to create reports. We asked them to publish to our hosted servers, reporting services. We were hosting SharePoint. So IT should be in the business of hosting and enabling self-service BI. So SharePoint, reporting services, Performance Point, ProClarity, you name it, all the server side of things, now Power Pivot server, Power View, all the good stuff. And then we forced all business power users to enter metadata for each report they were adding. Now, this is a question for you. We forced them to add 15 pieces of metadata for each report they were adding. Do you think they loved it or hated it? They hated it. Then why did we do this? Any ideas? Discover. Another reason was IT wants to give some pain to business. Otherwise, how is life good? No, I'm just kidding. No. So we had to force them to enter 15 pieces of metadata for each report. And guess what? The power users were the ones giving access to thousands of users. We were not. For us, the business owner who paid money, $15,000 from HR, $10,000 from finance. And then they will be the ones deciding who power users are. They are the ones who are giving access to end users. You are not. You're simply getting money and counting it. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're supporting the BI as a service. You want to be off of it. Let them do it. And they did it. And the result? I'm not kidding. Right here. Okay, I had to have some music here. So 40,000 users, folks. Imagine this. It's not a joke, right? 40,000 users, 100-plus applications, 60-plus business organizations, every year paying us money. And my group was earning $1.3 million in cross-charging all these business teams with a very high customer satisfaction. Why? Why do you think we have a high customer satisfaction? Any guesses? We did not create reports for them. That's why. You want to enable them to create reports, that let them have this power that they can use. They are responsible for all this. You're simply enabling data, enabling training, and all that stuff. It actually works. So with that, I'm going to show you a demo of this portal real quick. And then any questions so far on this topic? Do you think whatever I'm showing you is practical? Can you do it? Can you? Yes? Awesome. All right. Yeah, thank you. Yes, go ahead. You can ask question. Okay, good question. Who asked this question? So, very good. In all the whole thing I'm showing you, there's episode 2 coming. This is episode 1. In this is the best beauty of all this. We did not clean any data for them. There was nothing about data. It was only about reports. But because, and then we'll go to episode 2, which is all about enterprise data warehouse. In this thing, nothing. Just simply exposing reports that they had all over the world and that they wanted to do. We are simply exposing, enabling self-service BI. And what we were doing at the end of the day, this HTTP CBI portal I'm going to show you now. How are we doing on time, by the way? Are we late?
We have half an hour.
Half an hour. Okay. So I'm going to show you the demo without further ado. This is the CBI portal I'm showing you. This is in production for 5+ years within Microsoft. Okay. And all I evangelized for so many years was 3 letters, CBI. That's it. People will go there, and they will see, and look at this. This was a view which was suggested by our CIO. CIO said, remember the metadata? Metadata is being shown here. So what you're seeing is the way I evangelize this, imagine a world. These are the actual words I used for 5 years. Imagine a world where all employees at Microsoft can someday go to ABI portal. And based on their Windows account, they get to see all reports, scorecards, and dashboards for any business, anywhere, all in one place. And you never enter your user ID and password for anything within Microsoft. You're just looking at the whole thing in one place. So this is showing you metadata about what is this dashboard about? Who's the contact? How does it look like? And what does the report look like, right? So there we go. And now what we can do is we can actually go to a report. So let's say this is a report which I want to open. Then I can click on it. Now the report is opening, and of course it will say show all content, and I'll click again. That's okay, it's a feature. There we go. IT. So the best part of all this is like this. Take a look. This catalog has all kinds of folders for each of the businesses. So SMSG within this. Now this is one of our business, real business, commercial operations. Ashwini and I were talking about this one. So we just created, once they paid us $25,000 for the year, we gave them this folder. That's all we did. Okay, and then they were responsible for creating all the subfolders here, adding all the reports, because we had trained them, for God's sake. This is Asia Pacific. Look how many subfolders they had. This all up to them. We did not have any control over all this. So now that we did it, they can simply go and they can open report. They can give access to anybody they want, blah, blah. Now let's just show you one report here and public reports under there. I have a Power View report. So then if somebody likes the report, they open it in a portal and they get an error. That means security is working, you know. So obviously, I left this team a long time ago and I don't have access to good stuff here. But the point is very, very simple, that you can go to any of these reports and you can get this. So for example, CBI reports right here has some of this stuff. And SPC 14, that's where the report is, where I have access. So that's the one which will open. There we go. So the point is when people come into the site the first time, they can actually right-click the reports they like. They can add anything to their favorites. There we go. They can add the reports to favorites. They can add reports to sharing folders. When Bill Gates, obviously with Bill Gates, we create a folder called Executive Reports. You see a folder here for Bill Gates. So Bill Gates' direct reports will have access to like the SLT portal and all these things. So this was actually reviewed with Bill Gates too, and I felt that was the best moment, you know, if you would. And right there, So then people can open the reports they like, and they can obviously interact with any of these. The tool was irrelevant to us. Could be Microsoft, could be business objects, could be Tableau, anything. You know, any of these tools, the technology was not, didn't matter. It was all URL-based catalog, one place, okay? They could add reports to their favorites here. The next time they come in, all tabs are remembered for them. This thing is there. They can add external report anytime they want. They can favorite. And now this metadata search. Look at this. This metadata search was very powerful. So they were able to search on any metadata they want, any reports they want based on metadata that was there. And then also they could also go to any of these reports, right-click, and view details. So this way, look at this. Details is interesting because now you're able to see what kind of who has created this report, who has done this. So the benefit of this catalog was that people were able to get all the reports in one place, get access to it, and then really request access from anybody, and this was done. Okay. With this interesting approach, now the next step was how do we think about the data warehouse? What did we accomplish from all this, right? At the end of the day, we accomplished a fact that this everybody was able to know about Microsoft IT Enterprise Data Warehouse team just by going to this one place. They were able to get this. By the way, this tool is also available. Do any of you actually have a tool like this one in your company where you can go to one place for all of your business intelligence, right? Reports, scorecard, dashboards. It's a great thing if you do. But if you don't, then you are welcome to create something like this based on SharePoint. And there's a partner we have, Arjun Solutions. Steve is here. So you are welcome to go to our expo hall and find other partners as well. But then, you know, you're welcome to connect with them if you want a code like this, something like this. Okay. So now, do you have any comments on that before I go to episode two?
We're behind. 5 minutes. Yeah.
Okay, fine. So enterprise data warehouse story. We'll keep going then. So now let's talk about data. We never solved any data problem with this. So then after 6 months of putting CBI into production, as people started to use all this stuff, you're solving immediate problem. The big problem is data. So then we started this project of enterprise data warehouse. And then this one, obviously you start with source systems, you have siloed data sets, right? You know, you've seen this before, right? All finance, HR, everything is all over the place. And then duplicate conflicting dimensions and everything was like that. So then what we did is we created a data warehouse, enterprise data warehouse. And that took some time though. It took us more than a year to 2 years. Let's be honest about it. I mean, you know, to create data warehouse. And the approach we took was Bill Inman. How many of you have heard about Bill Inman? Ralph Kimball. So we followed some of the Bill Inman approaches initially to get all the holistic view of the data and everything initially to have basic dimensions of customer, product across, you know, different kinds of LOB applications. And then we followed the Ralph Kimball approach of building star schemas, cubes, and everything for each of the businesses. And then we built this data warehouse. Okay? And master data services, to answer your other question about master data, we use SQL Server master data services to actually have conformed dimensions across different businesses, right? And then we basically, how do you make data relevant for business? So data stewards. So we partner with business data stewards on data models to make them more correct and expose certified data as a service. Now, this is important too, by the way. How do you expose the certified data? From IT, you can just expose certified data as a service for your business people to consume using Data Explorer. And then we create Power Pivot as a service. How many of you are using Power Pivot today? Anybody? Power Pivot really can bring the whole thing to your life, and basically we expose whole enterprise data warehouse through Power Pivot as a service, and then that was that. We got feedback. So this slide now sums it up how CBI helped us. If you can pay attention to this slide, here is what we did. So we started very end, right? Remember we created CBI without solving any data problem. That was 6 months job, successful. We were growing 310,000, 40,000, whatever, 60,000 later on, by the way. But then we started from left and started cleaning data. Took lots of time and effort. Now that we had clean data warehouse, guess what? Can you guess the next step was? Once we had clean data warehouse, what do you think we did with the CBI reports? Sorry? You are so right. So I have another USB stick for you here. So update all those reports with bad data to go to the clean and certified data. So now do you see the big picture with me? What did we accomplish with all this is, you don't want to wait for, most of the EDW projects fail. Do you agree with me? Why? Because we are always IT people. We're always working in the back end while other vendors are going to business and showing them flashy stuff. Yes? Agree with me? So all you do is you start on the right hand side. Start with flashy stuff. Start with flashy stuff with whatever data they have. Create the report catalog. Create the BI portal. Get them going. Get them agility while you're working in the back end with all this stuff. And once you have this clean data, then just switch. But otherwise, you will have free marketing. Your people will have respected you for agility, all the good stuff. Making sense? Okay.
Now, one of the interesting things you also mentioned, episode one itself, even though that was dirty reports and dirty data, still it reduced the number of reports.
Oh, yes.
Overall.
Exactly. Right? This is a very good point I forgot to mention. When we started with CBI, we had very small number of reports. We reached 23,000 reports at the end of the day. Imagine that. 23,000 reports. That's not a joke, right, to maintain. But guess what happened? Because people were able to go to this one portal based on SharePoint, one place to go, guess what happened? Do you think the number of reports decreased over time? Yes. Those reduced down to 17,000 reports, and they kept on reducing. So the point is, when people see everything in one place, only then you know how much duplication is happening, what bad data is there. Okay, thank you. So life was good for a while. You know, you have enterprise. Don't you think the story should end here? That life is good, right? Why do we need to go for episode 3? So, reality is, business kept on changing, right? We make new acquisitions, Microsoft, some departments go away, whatnot, you know, and new business arose with acquisitions stuff. And keeping a single holistic version of truth became costly and slow. How many actually have EDW? In your company? What's one big problem that you face with any problems that you see with the EWs?
Constantly updating.
Constantly updating, right? With data. And? Operational data is hard to keep up with. So it became costly and slow. So essentially at the same time, business users got more tools for data analysis. They got even modern tools now, right? Like, you know, the tools I'm talking about, episode 4, which I already talked to you. And pace of business increased and budget shifted from IT to businesses. How many of you are actually seeing this, that budget is moving from IT to business? Business says that we can do it ourselves. We don't need IT for it. Let's be honest, come on. More. Yes? And that is true. So it happened within Microsoft as well. The whole big group we had, with lots of people, guess what? The business people said, oh, we can hire our own vendors, and now that you have cleaned our data, whatnot, we can do it ourselves with these tools, you know? So, and feel free to interrupt me if you say. And the business team started bypassing IT. If you are IT, what would you do? Any guesses?
Cheer.
Well, say it again.
Cheer.
Yeah, okay. What else do you think we should do as IT then? Sorry? Build the next thing. I like that. Absolutely like that. You know? There you go. So build the next thing. So the next thing that we did just 6 months ago, we launched from Microsoft IT, a place called BI at Microsoft, to all employees using Power BI. This is amazing new thing that we did. And essentially, we simply exposed the whole data warehouse that we had through this data catalog. I showed you, right, data catalog in Power Query. And we allowed all business people through, again, you cannot just open to 95,000 plus employees and whatnot. So we went through data stewards. For every business, data stewards decided which power users, and power users decided which end users. So it's a hierarchy. You cannot just open it to everybody. So data is still confidential and everything. Security works. We have row-level security, believe me. You don't want to expose MS sales data to all the employees either. It's very confidential, really is. So we did this. So we created this, launched this BI at Microsoft. And the overview is, it delivers Power BI as a service. It really shows Power BI as a service across Microsoft through a website, and it shows training and showcases. And see if I'll see after this one if I can show the demo of that. If not, then IT role is simply to enhance and integrate LOB data warehouses, different LOB data warehouses. And guess what? We moved towards a federated data warehouse. So how many of you have heard about federated data warehouses? Okay, you want to talk about federated data warehouses?
Yeah, it's essentially is a, I think as Sanjay was saying, we call it an existential crisis for IT. Really, what is IT about? Because many years, at least the data management group in IT was all focused on EDWs, right? The single version of truth is going to solve all your problems. It's going to be clean, everything's going to be perfect, we're going to keep it up to date, you'll have the latest data in there as well, and there's just no other reason to go anywhere else because IT will demonstrate the value that they bring to the enterprise by building this one large system. And what we're saying, the slides that Sanjay had of IWs essentially just saying, hey, waiting for you is just not acceptable. I just have decisions to make now. I just cannot wait 3 months or 6 months for you to give me the next iteration of the data model. I have to find a way. It's happening enough that we're seeing across the industry where as a modern IT organization, you just have to look in the mirror and say, really, what is the value that you're adding in this world where information workers are just moving as fast, much faster than what they were before? And we see this evolution happening of thinking around, EDWs are useful depending on your business size, depending on how complex your situation is. But still, there's this emergence of federated data warehouses, multiple data warehouses with alignment at the at the definition layer, where somebody that's responsible for the sales and marketing data warehouse, sales data warehouse talks to the marketing data warehouse, talks to the customer service data warehouse, and between themselves, they create this very loose definition of what a customer is or what a product is. And they say, we don't have to have all the bits aligned. We don't have to really go to a single version of the truth for what a customer is or what product is. As long as we have these 3-4 fields that are the same, and we make these available for customers to themselves use independent of us, assimilating everything into one magical supermodel, that's where, at least we see, this is an evolving field, but that's what we see much more of, which is this emergence of federated data warehouses throughout the enterprise, and a registration of those enterprise, of those data warehouses within the catalog to say, hey, now there's tools available for end users to find these much faster. For us, it's Power Query, but maybe you have other tools as well for data discovery. And that's a phenomena that IT is now doing to say, hey, the ROI of building an EDW is just not worth it in certain cases. The other thing that's happening is self-service publishing, that end users themselves is not just IT that can publish to this catalog. Self-service, I can publish myself. If I got data from our product studio, our bug database, and I got data from our customer databases, and I merged them together, I can publish it myself so that others in my work group can find useful, relevant, pre-canned data sources that they can use so they don't have to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's the other fundamental shift that's happening within businesses now that we notice.
Okay. So that was the end of this the stories. Do you like the story so far? Was it useful? So I shared with you, the 7 years of this life, but we're not done yet. So let's talk about governance. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a few slides here for a lot of questions come up around, okay, fine, you're dialing the pendulum back from single version of truth where everything is controlled into a more self-service enabled world. How do you ensure that only the right set of people have the right permissions and you don't have data leakage? Well, one of the things that we've noticed is education is people generally, there are malicious people, generally people don't want to do the wrong thing intentionally. They just don't know what the right thing is very frequently. And our IT, our MSIT, Microsoft IT is investing a lot in just educating people on hey, before you get access to this federated data warehouse, there's a training that you need to go through, which helps you understand not just the data model, what you're connecting to, but also what's your responsibility of sharing this out with others. So that's one of the pillars around making governance succeed. The other one I call the pit of success, which is we have this notion of certified data sources, where if you access data from certified data sources, you're guaranteed a certain level of completeness, a certain level of quality. And in order for you to certify data sources, you have to be certified yourself, right? So there's a training for data stewardship. This is what the responsibility is. Within the tool itself, certified queries show up with a specific stamp that identifies them for users as well. So that's just what I call pit of success is just by default, make sure that users can succeed, right? In the search queries, certified results would show up at the top. Hopefully that's what end users end up using for their critical data. There are a few tools also that we provide for oversight, and I'll get over that in the here. There's one which is called Discover Risk Assessment, which is a tool that's available to you as part of your SharePoint license. This one is if you have thousands of tens of thousands of workbooks or access databases within your organization, which ones are the risky ones? Which ones are the ones that you need to bring under control? There's a tool that crawls through and identifies, based on metrics that we've provided, best practices and metrics that you can define, to say, hey, if this connects to multiple data sources, it's the risk of this is high. If it contains revenue information more than 50 million, there is a materiality in here as well. And that's how you can triage the spreadsheets and access databases as well. Once you identify the risky workbooks, you can bring them under auditing and control management to say, any changes that it happens to these workbooks or databases, I want to know about them. And I want to have a snapshot, an audit log, and a snapshot of the versions that existed of these documents so that I can go back any point in time and say, hey, you actually made these changes on this date, and here's a version before and after to prove it.
Okay, we have 7 minutes.
Okay, there's a management dashboard for those using Power Pivot. There's a management dashboard for Power Pivot on premises in SharePoint, which allows you to see visibility into each of the bubbles at the bottom are essentially workbooks. The x-axis is the number of users, the y-axis is the number of queries. Which workbooks are the ones most often used within your enterprise, so that even though you've enabled a self-service infrastructure, you can still get some oversight into, hey, which are the more popular workbooks? Maybe I want to bring them under control. Maybe I want to actively, from IT, actually build BI solutions that target that need. I can also take a look at who is using these workbooks, as well as where the data is coming from into those workbooks. So if I have a set of users that have access to my sales database, and I have a set of users that are actually using reports which get data from the sales database, I can figure out who doesn't have access to the database but is actually using reports that is using data from that. So that's a great technology that we provide today as well. I mentioned certified sources. So if you're using Power Query, there is a way for users to filter down to just show me the certified results by this button on the ribbon. And on the right, you see the ribbon icon as well in online search just identifies these are the certified sources that you can get to. Right? Just a few set of tools available to you as well.
Yeah, we can show this. You have anything else after this? Or?
You have the top 10 lessons.
Okay, so let me show you a quick 2-minute demo, okay, which we are able to pull through. Ad hoc demo, right? We'll see if we can show you this thing right here. Thanks for staying. I know we are kind of reaching last 5 minutes. We're going to show you this one last thing. So what you see here is this, in Power BI, for example, when you publish those data sets, right, and when you publish those query models, right, queries that you publish in Power Query, or the files that you publish here, you can literally see this, and you can maybe...
Yes, essentially what you're seeing here is I have published a few, or in this case Sanjay has published a few data sets, and I can take a look at usage. How useful are what I've published for the rest of my enterprise? So I can get some visibility into how often are they being used, who are the users that are using these as well, just to give me feedback of if I've published 35 different data feeds, which ones are the ones that I really should curate more than others because they're being used more often?
Absolutely. And then data sources, which data sources are there and which queries are there, right?
So that's right. This is the catalog.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right. So with that, we'll go back to the slides.
Yeah, one of the other things that we don't have time to show here, but there was a complete session on, which was the data management gateway. There was a deep dive on the data management gateway. There was a question earlier about, can you refresh the stuff that you've moved to Power BI for Office 365? How do you refresh it if your data source is still back on premises? There's a great session on that. Essentially, there is the notion of a data management gateway that you install, you run as IT, you run on premises to allow Office 365 to reach back on premises, Power BI on Office 365 to reach back on premises and get data from your data sources. There are a few set of caveats around what is supported. It's just something that we released earlier this year, maybe last month we released it. And it just you'll see a lot of support for different types of data sources, support for different scenarios coming up online. So today, yes, you can absolutely refresh from SQL or Oracle that's running on premises, but new types of data sources would be supported as well.
Okay. All right. Last slide here. So top 10 lessons learned. I'm just summarizing everything I talked about during the session. What to do first, EW or BI reporting consolidation? What do you think? Consolidation. And then start with EW as well, you know, and parallel. Short-term, long-term. How do you get first sponsorship? You know, you can go to your CIO for money, but it's easier to find a business person. You can get them excited and then support, get other businesses to work with you, and then also approach CIO for money. We cannot keep going to CIO for money, for everything, right? And then how do you architect with big enterprise vision? This is exactly what I said to you. Do not create applications, but create platforms, generic. Look beyond that one business who's giving you money, because you want to use that money to create a platform for everybody else. That's think big. And then should we actually give control of catalog to the business users? What do you think? Yes? Yes. Let's do it. Should we, but have some governance. Should we wait for data integration to happen before exposing? I did not talk about this, but as you are cleaning data, as you are acquiring data and integrating data, do not wait for the integration to happen. Keep exposing acquired data. Why is that useful? That's your certified data. That's you're saying certified acquired data. This is actually the right thing. People can start using right away. Can we implement zero footprint deployment? Yes, you can using SharePoint. What about regional deployment, scalability? You either do regional deployment or set the right expectations. So people in Hong Kong should have same performance as you, Europe, you know? You need to make them. How do you evangelize? Please, very, very important. When you create something beautiful, spend time on evangelizing, marketing it. You're IT people, you're not marketing people. But spend time marketing it, evangelizing, getting people excited about the new tools you have. And that way you'll actually get adoption, right? You know, is that? Should we go with the EW or Federated Data Warehouse? It really depends. You start with cleaning everything, then you can maybe go into Federated as well. That's what I would say. And how do you achieve high customer satisfaction? You learn from mistakes. And you know, do you agree with me? Business is always right. No matter what mistake they make, you do not be defensive about it. A lesson learned in my own life. So you just say, yes, you are right. I'll do better next time. No, okay. So how to control shadow applications from business? Enable self-service BI. So with that, that's our session. Thank you so much. And you can ask any questions. Yeah. So it's a unique session we have created for you. Please, if you like it, please say that in the evaluations. We can do better next time. Give us comments. If you have any questions, come over. We can answer for you. We'll stay until whenever.